You are the Alpha, you are the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the final authority, and your word has power and authority over our lives. But not everyone profits from these words. I pray this morning that everyone that is here, who will hear this word, will profit from these words in Jesus' name. Lord, it's going to be a life-changing experience. It's going to be a destiny-fulfilling experience for each and everyone that will hear me this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because praise the Lord. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew 13, verse 18 to 23. That's the place we've been looking at for some time, although we had an interlude last week because of the visiting minister that came. We had an interlude. Matthew 13, verse 18 to 23. It says, listen then to the meaning of the parable of the sower. While the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the roadside. As for what was sown on thin rocky soil, this is he who hears the word and at once welcomes and accepts it with joy. Yet it has no real root in him, but is temporary. But is temporary, that is, inconstant. Lasts but a little while. And when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, at once he is caused to stumble. That is, he is repelled and begins to distrust and desert him whom he ought to trust and obey, and he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the pleasure and delight and glamour and deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. As for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100 times as much as was sown, in another 60 times as much, and in another 30. Praise the Lord. We have been talking about the good ground, and this is probably the third time we are going to be speaking on the good ground. I want to believe that the reason why God wants us to talk about the good ground is because he wants to make us that good ground that will bring forth fruit in our lives. At the beginning of this series, we talked about the different areas of our lives where we can bring forth good fruits. And by the week before the last, we started talking about the ingredients, what makes a good ground a good ground. We said, what are the things, what are the ingredients, what are the components that make a good ground a good ground? And we spoke about, and I think the only thing we spoke about that there was receptivity. We said the good ground must be ready to accept the seed. I'm sure we can remember. What use is the ground if it's not receptive or will not accept that kind of seed? We look at the three types of soils that we were taught in school, and we look at what makes one better than the other. The fact that one is able to retain and hold makes all the difference. Receptivity. So we said we must be ready to receive the word of God. we looked at the fact that, for example, in a small church like our own, it's likely the pastor will know things about people. And because he knows things about people, will he stop preaching the word and not talk about those things? No. When people go away to say that the preaching was about them, it then becomes difficult for the pastor to preach the word. In a way, we start to choke the word of God. But we know that the word of our faith has to be spoken out. It is when the word comes out that it has the power to do what it's meant to do in your life. Interestingly, you had the pastor who came last week. He oversees churches in about 54 nations. And it was the same issue he was talking about. Praise the Lord. And we also said that if we are receptive, we must not practice what is called substituted obedience. What is substituted obedience? Jonah was asked to go to where? Nineveh. Where did he go? Tarshish. Did God accept his obedience? No. Because God had mercy on him, he redirected him. Some people never had the second chance. You have a second chance in Jesus' name. You've had this today. Substituted obedience. If, for example, you know the word of God says pay your tithe, and you say, oh, I give to the poor. That is substituted obedience. You have not paid your tithe because God said tithe. He knows that you are to pay tithe and also give to the poor before he said it. If the word of God says you have to forgive your neighbor, you refuse to forgive them. Instead, you say, so I don't want people to talk about my own. So when people are there, you just greet them nicely. You have not forgiven them. That's substituted obedience. It does not wash with God. We also talk about timing of obedience. That if we are late in obedience, the moment we hear the word of God, we have to do something about it immediately. We don't keep postponing it. You say, okay, look, we heard about paying our tithes today, but look, I will start paying my tithe from next year. I better do it now. Next year may never come for you. I pray next year will come for you in Jesus' name. It has to be immediate. I told us the story of a woman. She went to church in Mandra. Her pastor talked about forgiveness and said, look, losing some relationships can mean something for you in your life. And as soon as she had that word, she and her husband to get home. There and then she took up her phone and called the people concerned, and they took off from the church and they went to those people to settle there and then. That is a Christian. That is word sown on a good ground. Do you know that she could have postponed it? And in the meanwhile, if she postponed it, the person may even do something else and the opportunity to even make up may never arise. Immediately she drove from Mandra to Perth and quickly settled with that person. The husband said, I was surprised when she just said, no, please, don't let us go. Let's go. We are going to Perth. I want to go and meet these people. I have to settle with them. So timing is important. And we also said that when a good soil has a seed sown in it, the seed does not remain the same. That is why it's a good soil. Does it remain the same? The soil will make use of that seed. It will do something with it. The seed will germinate. And we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, and it says, believe God and you will be established. Believe his prophet and you will what? You will prosper. I've said it. It is not who preaches to you. If you like, the Adeboyes of this world may preach to you. Kenneth Hagin may preach to you. Creflo Dollar may preach to you. T.D. Jakes may come and preach to you. It doesn't matter who preaches to you. If you don't do the word, it's useless. Interestingly, without being aware, the preacher who came last week also said the same thing. If you will hear the word of God here and you don't do it, look, if you like, just go and hear from anyone else. If you don't do the word, it's nothing to you. It's useless. He said, believe God and you'll be established. Believe his prophet and you will prosper. Your prosperity depends on you believing the word as it comes to you to hold on to it. And Jesus has something to say about it in Matthew chapter 10, verse 41 and 42. He said, he who honors a prophet will receive what? A prophet's reward. He who honors a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. Matthew 10, 41 to 42. So it's very important when we hear the word, the good ground, it's not about debating it. It's not about how much you like me. It's about what the word of God says. If we are going to prosper from the word, the pastor who came last week was telling us, he said, everyone is anointed. Look, I agree with you, everyone is anointed, but anointing is not equal. Is it? No. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when he was talking about, talking about the different gifts. What did he say? He said, one is not this. He said, is everyone the same? Everyone cannot be prophet. Everyone cannot be evangelist. Everyone cannot be pastor. Everyone cannot be this. So people are called into different offices. So also people have different gifts. And God has given the ability for impartation. People can impart. Let me tell you something. No matter, you see, it's not democracy. Let's forget it. That's why you look at some nations, that's why you never see established ministry or big ministries in those nations, because they've democratized church. There are people whom God will use. They will touch you and your life will change for good. Once you hold on to God, it's not them. It is the gift of God in their lives. So it's very important that we get these things very, quite correctly. I know some people have misused it. I know some people have gone overboard with it. But the truth about it, and I can give you examples in the Bible. Elisha and Elijah. My father, behold the chariot of Israel. Elisha was the son of a very wealthy man. Elijah was the son of a Tishbite. The father has no name. Praise the Lord. And the Bible said he will pour water on the hand of who? Of Elijah. And so when he was going, what did he say? He said, give me a double portion of your anointing. He said, it's a hard thing for me to do, but if you know when I'm going. If he did not follow Elijah, he would never have had a double portion of the anointing. And in the New Testament, the Bible will say, set aside for me Paul and Barnabas. They lay hands on them. And Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, look, in all the places we have been, appoint elders, lay hands on them. Because by reason of him laying hands on them, there is a transfer of anointing. Otherwise, there was no need for him to lay hands on them and appoint them. There was no need. They would just simply have just, walking. And everybody will do their own thing. The church of God is not set up that way. And I'm not just talking about this church as a building. I'm talking about everywhere. Even if you are going to be a pastor without border, you are going to preach everything. God is going to use his servant to anoint you. There was a transfer of anointing from Eli to Samuel. That's why. There was a period of tutelage. Praise the Lord. The good ground. Receptivity, that's one. We are going to quickly talk about a few other things that make a good ground a good ground. Have you ever seen a good ground without water? A good ground without moisture. What gives the ground moisture is water, right? Praise the Lord. So, every good ground must have water. must have good source of water. Am I right? Where there is no good source of water, what do we say? We say it's a dry ground. In fact, the Yorubas, what do they call it? Ashale. In other words, that land cannot be useful to anybody. And we told us that the ground that the Bible is referring to is our heart. So what is going to be the water of our hearts that will make our ground, our hearts, a good ground? The water of our hearts. And I want to submit to us this morning that what is going to create the moisture in our hearts and make our hearts a good ground, that is the water of our heart, is the Word of God. Because water indicates what? Water indicates life. How many of us agree with me? The scientists that have been, you know, they've been sending probe to Mars, to all the planets they want to, what are they looking for? They are just looking for water. Because they know that where there is water, there will be life. And the Bible says that the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are what? And they are life. Water is life. The word of God is life. The word of God is spirit. We have to have it in our hearts if our heart is going to be a good ground, because it's the one that provides the moisture and make it possible that when we receive, based on what we know of the word of God, that the word of God can stay in us and bring about a change and the prosperity that God intends for our lives. I'm not just talking about financial prosperity. I'm talking about all-round prosperity that can sustain us in the times of trouble. That is prosperity. When you prosper in the things of God, irrespective of what is happening around you, you remain who you are in the Lord. That's prosperity. Of course, the other thing that water does is that water washes. Water washes. So in other words, if we are talking about water that washes, why do you need water in the soil in order for it to wash? What does the water wash in the soil? Jesus says, cast your cares upon me. If you don't have the word of God in you, it is not possible for you to cast your cares on the Lord. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 to 27. Ephesians 5, 26 to 27. Ephesians 5, 26 to 27. If you get there, please, can you read? Ephesians 5, 26 to 27. Okay. He said, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So God is relying on his word to clean you and I and make us pure. Now, you may have been reading this particular passage for a long time and don't really understand what it means. Let's quickly look at it. He said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. Stop at that. The washing of water. In other words, the washing of water is what makes pure. There are different things you use to wash different things, right? There are some things you wash with oil. Am I right? There are some things you wash with kerosene. There are some things you wash with all sorts of things. But the Bible is talking about the washing of water. In other words, the washing of water purifies, it makes clean, And it says, by the word. In other words, the word is the one that can wash and make clean and give you the quality of something that has been washed by water. Because every other thing that you use to wash that is different from water does not produce the same result as when water has really washed. And the word of God makes us to understand, we are made to understand that the word of God is that thing that will wash us and make us whole, because God is looking for a church that is going to present to himself that has no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Let's also look at Hebrews chapter 10 verse 22. Hebrews 10, 22. The word of God is that water, you know, allows the word of God to stay in you, to stay and have a place in your life. The more of the word of God you can put into your life, the higher your chances of success with the Lord. The higher your chances of breakthrough in the things of God. The higher your chances of walking with the Lord. He said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure what? Eh? What do you think he's talking about? Do you think it's the kind of pure water they sell in Nigeria? He's talking about the word of God. So having our hearts and our bodies cleaned with what? With pure water. The pure water is the word of God that washes and makes whole. So every good ground must have water in it. Have that water. How does it clean you? When you remember the word of God, when you remember what God says, when you are going to do something and you remember the word of God, you just say, no, the word of God says this. This is what the word of God says. Your life will have to line up with the word of God. And of course, water does not only wash, water dissolves nutrients and make them available. It's water that dissolves. Look, that is why what happens to us when, if you have plants and you put fertilizer around your plant and there's no rainfall or water poured on it, what happens? You are afraid. What's going to happen to that plant? Eh? That plant will die. It's water that dissolves nutrients and make them available, or carry nutrients from wherever they may be and bring them to the place where the plant is. And that is why the Bible talks about that righteous man, and he said he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So in other words, we need the water to bring our way. The word of God brings our way, the nutrient, the things, the benefit of serving God, the benefit of knowing God is brought to us by the word of God, so that we can prosper and bring forth fruit at the right time. Water also does some things. Now we're going to look. This is very crucial. This is very crucial. Water softens up and breaks up. Am I right? Water. Even if it's stone. I don't know. Many of us may never have been to the farm. But I've been to the farm. I've seen streams running. Where the streams run on stones, the stones are different. Am I right, ma? They are brittle. If you look at those stones, sometimes you can just take the stone from the water and actually break them. Stones that have stayed long enough in water, they begin to dissolve. They begin to break up. They are not as strong as they used to be. And the word of God is like that. The word of God is the one that brings tenderness into our hearts. Otherwise, we are generally self-willed. That is why you have a two-year-old child, or one of the first things that your son, your daughter will learn is what? No. Come here. No. Come do this. No. They know. I remember when we were little. No. That's the first thing they say. But even as adults, that's the way we are meant to be. But when the word of God comes into our lives, it softens us up. When you come, you hear the word of God like this. You cannot just go home and walk away as if you have not heard. On the basis of the word of God, God is expecting that you begin to change. So the water dissolves, it softens up. And that word of God will soften you up today in the mighty name of Jesus. I want us to look at James chapter 1 verse 21. It says, so get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word of God, which implanted and rooted in your heart contains the power to save your souls. I just like that. That's amplified. I just like that. The word implanted in you is the one that softens you up. It breaks you up. It just makes you, you know, malleable. It makes you available to God. And I, you know, King James Version puts it this way. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. It's the word that softens people up. When we come like this, everyone knows what they want. Everyone, you know, we are so sure of ourselves, we want this. But when you hear the word of God, you change your mind. That's when you know that you are a good grand. It brings about a change of mind. And you say, you know, when you make up your mind, say, this person, I will never do this for them again. I will never do this. And then you change your mind. People think you are foolish. It's because you hear the word of God. The one that is not a good ground, when they hear the word of God, irrespective of what you say to them, they will continue. They've made up their mind. And what happens to them? Destruction. That will not be your lot in Jesus' name. Now, we'll quickly look at Psalm 18 verse 12. Let me show you something in Psalm 18 verse 12. Because we need the word of God to break us down. If the word of God does not break us down, the path, you know, that it leads to, it's very dangerous. It's not my word. When I say destruction, I know it's a harsh word. We don't want to hear it. But unfortunately, that's what happens. Look at Psalm 18 verse 12. Proverbs 18 12. Let me quickly show you something there. I know we say it a lot of times, but we don't probably look at the import. Look at what the Bible says, you know. Proverbs 18. It said, before destruction, the heart of man is what? Before destruction, the heart of man is what? What's the other word for haughty? No. It's proud. The heart of man is full of pride and elevated. And before honor is what? Is humility. The word of God, it breaks us down. It breaks us down so that God can build something majestic out of us. So that God can promote you. When you don't yield to the word of God, you hear it day and night, and all you do is, you know, it's not about me. It's not this. What do you know is happening in his life? He just come and talk like that. Who is he? Who is kidding? You will not have the opportunity to break you down. I know we say it in a different way. We normally say, when the gods want to kill someone, they first make him mad. That's the Bible version to say, before destruction, the heart of man is what? Everybody will talk to that person. They will hear it here. They will not listen. He will not yield. Everything will still be the same. He will just see that, no, this is what I want to do. But he said, for God to lift up somebody, the person brings himself down. Going up with God is coming down with man. When you come down, God will lift you up. He said, God will lift you up. And my prayer for you this morning is that God will lift you up in Jesus' name. I say, God will lift you up in Jesus' name. Remember, we are talking about the ingredients of a good soil, and water is one of those. Now, let me quickly look at, we were talking about the fact that water breaks up. Let me quickly show you something else. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23, verse 29 to 30 and 30. Jeremiah 23. Because we need to prosper by these words. We need to prosper. You are going to prosper in Jesus' name. I say you are going to prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. Because of the words that you hear, you can't come to this place and your life be the same. I was when our brother was talking about his testimony, I mean, to me, I told him, and I've seen it happen so many times here. I said, people who have come and plunged themselves to the things of God in this place, as far as I've seen, none of their lives has ever been the same again. He basically released his wife to come and be doing what God wants them to be doing, you know. And I said, it's not possible, because God is a faithful God. I'm just saying it. I'm not glorifying anyone. It's just normal. I've said it so many times. So you are not the only one I've said it to. I've said it to many people in the church, and you know. And the other people know who have served this way before, who come, and they are dedicated to the things of God. And how can God not glorify himself in your life? He will never allow you to be put to shame. When you yield yourself to him, he will build something out of you, build something beautiful. You see, the problem is this. We have our imaginations. We have the things we look that seem to be, you know, an epitome of beauty to us. But let me tell you something. God also has his own imagination. And what God considers as beautiful is better than what you consider as beautiful. You may decide to build a castle for yourself, but when God builds a castle for you, it will surpass whatever you can dream of, because he says what God will do with your life, eyes have never seen, nor ears heard, what he has in stock for you. We are running to build. We are running to build. We are running to build for ourselves. Let God build for you. I say, let God build for you. Tell your neighbor, say, let God build for you. You know why? You should let God build for you. He said, except the Lord build a house, they that labor, they do what? They do it in vain. You can only build what God has built. That's what you can do. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29 and 30. Let's quickly look at this. Hear this. He said, is not my word like fire that consumes all that cannot endure the test, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock of most stubborn resistance? Did I tell you that the word of God breaks? It breaks. And verse 30, I will read that in King James Version. He said, therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, said the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Now, you are going to ask, how do you steal the word of God? In other words, God says, I'm against the prophet that substitute my word. Instead of telling people the truth of the word, they substitute it. Maybe that's what they think people would like to hear. He said, everyone that steals it from his neighbor, you don't speak the word, you don't let them hear the word. He said, I'm against the prophet that substitute my word, that steals my word, you know, from their neighbor. Let me see what Amplifier has for us. He said, therefore, behold, I'm against the false prophet, says the Lord. I'm even now descending upon them with punishment, this prophet who steals my words from one another, that is, imitating the phrases of the true prophets. God says he's against them. The word is meant to break resistance. If you don't speak the word that will break resistance in people's life, you are not doing them favor. When all you hear when you go to church is that as you are okay. You see, God expects you to be like that and remain like that. That is not true. The word of God is supposed to renew us, to break us and mold us every day, so that we'll come to that perfect man that God wants. Because God is coming for a church without what? Spot or wrinkle. And you'll be among the number in Jesus' name. We are talking about the nutrients. We have just spoken about water. What are the other nutrients, or what are the other ingredients? You know, we're talking about water. What are the other things that needs to be in a good soil? Nutrients. I'm sure many of us will remember magnesium, manganese, iron, you know, all those nutrients that need to be there. Eh? We know the fertilizer, was it? Is it NPK? Praise the Lord. Nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, praise the Lord. It has to contain the right nutrients for the word of God to have a seed, you know, to germinate and to grow and bring forth fruit. That ground must contain the necessary nutrients. So also the heart of a Christian must contain the necessary things that makes the word of God germinate and bring forth fruit, so we can prosper. The Lord will prosper you in Jesus' name. And I'm talking about all-round prosperity. You know, some people will prosper You know, they'll prosper financially, but their marriage will be in shambles. Some people will hold high position, but their children are in trouble. Some people will be doing well in one area, their health is in trouble. But I'm praying for you that you are going to have all-round prosperity in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And it's only God who can ensure it through His word, as we hear it today. And I believe that this is the word of God that is going to prosper your life, such that your life will never be the same again. One of the nutrients, one of the ingredients that make a good soil, like we have listed, we said names of the different things, component, but for the child of God, one of the spiritual ingredients is knowledge. It's knowledge. I recently learned a few more things about knowledge, and I'm going to share it with you. There are two types of knowledge that you can learn from the Word of God. There is the common knowledge. Did somebody hear that? Common knowledge. Common knowledge is anyone who has eyes and has a little brain between their two ears can do what? You can take the Bible, that's if you care to, read the Bible and understand what it says and begin to apply. That's common knowledge, isn't it? It's common knowledge. And somebody recently said, he said, look at all the nations. Somebody came yesterday, the people who trained us said yesterday, say, Australia is not a Christian nation. That's what they said. But if you look at the law, most of the law of Australia and other Western nations is designed based on what? It's based on the Bible. Yet they are not Christian nations. So in other words, they are applying what? Common knowledge of the Bible. And as a child of God, you too can apply what? Common knowledge. Just look at the Bible. The principle of the Bible is give and you receive. Give and you receive. Common knowledge. You know? But we can go beyond that if we are going to be what God wants us to be. And to have the other kind of knowledge, revelational knowledge of God. Revelational knowledge. We go beyond the common knowledge to what? To revelational knowledge. Praise the Lord. Why do we need revelational knowledge? I want you to open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Deuteronomy 29:29. That's what we need. You see, a lot of people can read. If I was listening to one powerful preacher of God, who said, he said, you don't have to be born again to preach the gospel. Did somebody hear that? You don't have to be what? Born again to preach the gospel. You can read the Bible and preach the gospel to people. But the way you will know somebody who is born again is the way the word of God has affected our own lives. That's why you see a lot of preachers, they can go around and do, and preach. Everybody say, ooh, and they earn a lot of money and live big. But when you look at their own lifestyle, you just know that they are not children of God. Deuteronomy 29:29. Revelational knowledge. So they use common knowledge, common principle to teach people. But as children of the Most High God, we are going to move beyond, the common knowledge to revelational knowledge. 29:29. Let me just read it for you. It says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Who does secret things belong to? But the things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all of the words of this law. Praise the Lord. In other words, there is common knowledge, there is secret knowledge that is only obtained through what? Through what? Through revelation. That God will reveal things to people Because you choose to come close to God, many of us, and that's one of the problems of the church today, is that we walk by common knowledge like everyone else. Everybody can quote the Bible and do things and so on and just cram it and practice it and do whatever. It is that revelational knowledge that makes you prosper out of the things of the Word of God. Because the secret things belong to the Lord our God. So there are secret things. Not everything in the kingdom is available to everyone. Only those who know the secret of it will obtain it. That's why, you see, serving God is not the... It's only those whom He reveals them to that will prosper through those words. In other words, the level of your prosperity in the things of God depends on the level of revelation that you have. Did somebody hear that? Let's quickly look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 2, 10. Please, I'll just still take, you know, 5-7 more minutes of your time. I will finish. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, quickly. If you get there, please read, so we can go on to something else next time. 1 Corinthians 2, 10, what does it say?
Then God has revealed to them, to us, through the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit searches all things.
Yes. Praise the Lord. So it's the Holy Spirit of God that helps us to get a revelation. It's going to, you know, the Holy Spirit reveals the secret things. You know, He helps us to get revelation, because it's the revelation that leads us into the deep things of the Lord. That's why, you see, it's not just enough for us to file in and out of church, you know, and people will just come and say, oh yes, you see. No, the deep things of God, they are not accessible to everyone. As much as we like it, everyone has the Bible, everyone can buy the Bible, but the deep things that are contained in the Word, they are not accessible to everybody until the Spirit of God chooses to reveal to you that thing. And let me tell you something, you only know people's secrets by when you walk with them, isn't it? I will know your secret when I start to visit you. If I start coming to your house for the next 6 months, and I'm coming to your house on a daily basis, where you are eating, where you are doing things, I'm there. If I get angry, you will know me when you come to live with me. Those are the secrets that come to the fore when you get close to the Holy Spirit. You begin to know the Holy Spirit. You begin to know the secret things of God. Let's quickly look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 22. Daniel 2, 22. Quickly. That's why we drew our sword the other time. So we are people who quickly open the Bible. Daniel 2:22. Are we there yet? Daniel 2:22. Somebody to read for me, please. You want me to read? Okay. He revealed the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Who reveals the secret things? God. He reveals. So it's not something that is known to everybody. First of all, we learn that secret things belong unto the Almighty God. And the Bible makes us to understand that He reveals. Look at Psalm 25, verse 4. Look at the kind of people. I mean, before then, there's another. So we have secrets. Before we go to Psalm 24, we have secrets. Then we also have what is called mysteries. Mysteries. They are not accessible to just anyone. Look at Romans chapter 16, verse 25, quickly. Romans 16, 25. Secrets and mysteries. They are not accessible to... That's why one child of God will prosper more than the other. I'm not just talking about financial. That's why, that's the difference. If you don't have revelation, you will not know the secrets and the mysteries of God. So you just be the usual Christian. So Romans 16:25. Quickly, can somebody read?
And the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, kept secret since the world began.
Praise the Lord. There's a revelation of mysteries. So there are mysteries in God that only those who catch the revelation will have access to as well. So God owns secrets and mysteries. Look at Psalm 25 verse 14. Look at one of the ways that you can be led into the secrets and the mysteries of God. Psalm 25 verse 14. Secrets and mysteries of God. Are we there yet? You want me to read 25:14? The secret of the Lord is with who? Those who fear him. Yes? He will show them his covenant. He will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Those who reverently worship the Lord. It's not those who, you know, did he say the secret of the Lord is with Christians? Did he say the secret of the Lord is with people who go to church? No, it's with which people? Those who fear him. That is why some people will prosper, others will not prosper. He said, for the same word that was preached to us, the same gospel that was preached to us was preached unto them, but because it was not mixed with faith, they did not prosper from it. You will prosper from the word of God in Jesus' name. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Isaiah 45 verse 3, quickly. Isaiah 45, we're almost through. Isaiah 45 verse 3. What does it say? Just to let you know that we need to immerse ourselves in the Lord. We cannot. We study the word. When we hear it, let it rule over your life. Let it rule over your life. Give up that thing that the word of God says you have to give up. And as you fear the Lord, he will reveal the secrets to you. Look, he will surpass your expectation. What he will do in your life is greater than whatever you can do for yourself.
And I will give you treasures hidden in the darkness, secret riches. I will do this so you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who calls you by name.
Praise the Lord. I will give you treasure. He said, I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret place, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, I'm the God of Israel. So there are secret treasures. Your prosperity depends on being able to go into the secrets of these treasures, for God to reveal those secrets to you. That thing, that single decision that you will take, that will change your life forever. Even in material blessing, that will change the whole of your family history forever. And that which you see now that you think is really, you know, is so good, you'll be surprised what God can do with you. He said they are hidden somewhere. And I was telling her the other night, I said, look, as people were losing their homes in the US, some people are making millions and billions at the same time. In the same atmosphere, in the same place. God will choose you to honor you in Jesus' name. So riches of secret place come by revelation to prosper. To prosper you. When God says give, when God says do this, do it. When you fear him, he'll reveal secrets to you. That's why a lot of what we say, it doesn't work. We come to church, we do this, we do that. No. Until we fear him and he reveals secrets to us, it changes our lives. It changes our perspective. We begin to see things differently. Lastly, can you just read, open to Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. Matthew 13, verse 11. As we close, Matthew 13, verse 11. He says, he answered and said unto them. Who answered and said to them? Jesus. What did he say to them? King James Version. Because it is given unto you to know the what? To know what? Speak out now. Get excited. Because it's given unto you to know what? To know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. So it's not everyone. He said, it's given to you. Not everyone who had the word of Jesus was given that gift, that ability to know the mysteries. Today, the Bible is making you to realize that it is given to you to know the mysteries. Will you make yourself available? The mystery that will prosper you. The mystery that will change your family history forever. The mystery that will break that curse upon your life. The mystery that will break the curse upon your generation. The mystery that will change, you know, your destiny for good. He said, it is given to you to know the mystery. In other words, the parable we are talking about, there is mystery in it. There is mystery for you to grow. There is mystery for you to prosper. There is mystery for you to be restored. There is mystery for you to be healed in the word of God. Until there's a revelation, we will the good ground. Knowledge is important. Different level of knowledge, more than what the world has. That's why in nations where they strict, you know, they do the truth, justice, and so on, you see that they prosper. On the surface, you see they prosper. But you see, everything is degenerating because there's no revelational knowledge of God. In the midst of plenty of money, things are degenerating because there's no revelational knowledge. And it is this revelational knowledge that changes things in the lives of the people of God. And it's going to change things in your life today in Jesus' name. Can we just rise up? We'll continue next time. And the next thing we are going to do is this as we pray today. You know, this is quite different. Please bring in all the children, please. They are going to partake in the Holy Communion. All our children, they are going to eat of this bread and drink of this wine today in Jesus' name. Because as many as will eat of this bread and drink of this wine, the angel of death will pass over you in Jesus' name. Every disease and affliction will pass over you. I want you to start praying to the Lord this morning and say, Father, I've heard your word. I want to prosper through this word. Because your safety is in the word that you have just heard. Your safety is in that word. Your growth is in that word. Your restoration in that word. I want you to begin to speak to the Lord now, right now. Speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord. Everyone, all the children, please come in. They are going to participate. Normally, we don't give it to them, but I had that instruction this morning that we'll give it to them. And they are going to eat. As they eat it unto life. They eat it unto life. They eat it unto breakthrough in their lives. They eat it unto good health. Everyone that will eat, once you get the bread, you can eat. As you get the bread, you can eat. But when you get the wine, don't drink, please. Just hold on to the wine. When you get the bread, I want you to eat. As many as will eat it this morning, the Lord God himself will ensure that you prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. Repale shenga kopo sondere baleka shanda. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just eat, just eat, just eat the bread. Eat the bread. We have already prayed for you. None of you who eat this, none of you will be struck by pestilence. None of you will be struck by disability. The angel of death will pass over you in Jesus' name. As you are partaking and you are the same table with the Lord today. And I'm telling you, you will see the year to come. You will see many, many more years to come in Jesus' name. Because he says with long life he will satisfy you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bless you. We give you praise. We thank you for the life of Jesus. We thank you for the victory of Jesus. We thank you for restoration of joy. We thank you for the installation of hope. We thank you for lives transformed. We thank you for healing right now. Lord, all those who have given up hope, you thought that hypertension is your end, and I'm telling you, it will not end your life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. All glory be to you, Lord. Your people will live. They will forever sing your praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we share the grace in